Amen. Church, will you join me in just thanking these families and encouraging them this morning? As they make their way back to their seats, let me say good morning. Good morning, good morning, LifePoint family. Welcome back. It's good to be with you this morning. And guests, let me say welcome to you. My name's Cale. I'm the teaching pastor here at the Delaware campus. And I want to encourage you, guests, if you are new here today, of course, it is child dedication, as Jonathan mentioned. It's our 20th anniversary as a church. I'm going to talk about that here in a moment. But guests, just want to point out to you something we say to our guests every single time. There are some QR codes in front of you. So feel free, if you're wondering, like, can I use my smartphone in church? Yes, you can, right? Use the QR codes in front of you. One of those is for lpguest.com. And that's, again, for you if you're new. It's got the message notes this morning. A bunch of helpful information there. And if you wouldn't mind taking a moment, there's a guest information card there. Take a moment. Fill that out and choose one of the ministries listed there. Those are partner ministries of ours around the city, around really our various communities around our six campuses, and just choose one. We'll donate $5 in your honor. No strings attached. Just our way of saying thanks so much for being here with us this morning. The other QR code is for live translation. So if you need live translation this morning, it'll live caption everything we're talking about here on your phone for you in English and also like 20 other languages there. So you can choose if you speak a different language this morning. So utilize that live translation QR code as well if you need it. Well, like I said, today's 20 years as a church family. So someone from from this campus asked me last week, they were thinking, they said, Cale, a couple of us were talking and they were thinking 20 years for this campus. And they said, we were doing the math. Were you in middle school when we launched LifePoint, right? And I said, no, right? Yes for 2004, right? No for this campus. This campus, 8.5 years old. And man, I as I think about the last 8.5 years, no, I was not in middle school 8.5 years ago, right? And as we launched this campus 8.5 years ago, and I think about all that God has done in the last 8.5 years, man, grateful would be a very good word for that. In fact, can I just ask, right? I know some of you, you're gonna probably hate this, but if you were here in the old facility when we were meeting at downtown Delaware, right, in the old church building downtown, would you just raise your hand? Raise it up high, right? Yeah, absolutely. And then I'm gonna ask, keep it up, right? For those of us, if you were here the very first Sunday that we launched, right? And you were here, you were part of those 11 life groups that came from Lewis Center. Man, thank you guys and grateful for you, right? For those who are holding up your hands. Not only that, I'm grateful for those who were part of this launch, who came here in 2016, but also just looking around at the way God has grown our church family in the last 8.5 years. I am so grateful for all that God has done. It has been an extraordinary 8.5 years together. But it's also a good reminder this morning as we celebrate 20 years that here at this campus, we're part of a larger story. And obviously we could go back thousands of years and talk about the global church, right, and what God is doing. But even just going back 20 years, so in the fall of 2004, LifePoint met as a church. 14 people, right? They started in 2004, 14 people in a home. But in 2003, actually, it was 2003 that God called four families to leave their homes, most of them coming to Ohio for the first time. I think there was maybe one who was actually from here, but most of them a little bit Abraham-like, you know, leave the country you're from and the place you're from and your family and go to where I'm going to tell you to go. And that was three of those families are still with us actually today. Dean and Angie Folks and their family. Dean is our lead pastor and teaches at our Lewis Center campus each week. Troy and Allison Palermo, and Troy is our executive pastor. And then Shane and Ellen Tucker and their family. And Shane serves as our creative arts pastor. Those three families still with us from the very beginning, still leading here today. When God called those guys and their families to come to Delaware County had the least evangelical church attendance in the entire state of Ohio, right? 3%, right? As far as who's attending a church that's preaching the gospel, that wants to make disciples, right? It was 3% as far as we could tell. Now, it's been a little while since we've looked up the updated numbers. Last we saw, that dial had moved to 7%. Right? And you may say, well, that doesn't feel like much, right? But from 3 to 7 is a pretty big jump. I mean, that's more than doubling. And by God's grace, I think God has allowed us to be a part of that. and there is more work to be done. Our county is one of the fastest growing in the state of Ohio, even in the nation. God continues to bring people here, and God has given us the privilege and the responsibility of making disciples where we are. Now, we'll pray at the end and look forward a little bit and pray and ask God to continue to use us, but today is a good day where we're celebrating, right? Not necessarily just looking forward, but primarily looking back and celebrating what God has done. We recognize there's more work to be done, but we're celebrating what God has done. And so we're gonna watch a video here in a minute. And it's really, if you've ever seen like the X-Men Origins stories, right? If you've watched some of the Origins films, or you watched like Batman Begins and the first of the Batman trilogy, right? That was my favorite. I always liked the backstory. It's part of why I like Lord of the Rings. Like the first hour of Lord of the Rings is just backstory, right? I love that. I love context. I love walking in. It's easy to see, well, here's where we are today, right? We have six different campuses and we meet in these places, but how do we get here? What's the story? What did God, how did this start? And what's happened as we've moved towards where we are today? So this video is a little bit like LifePoint's origins story. And Dean and Shane and Troy, we're going to hear, and some others as well, but they just share a little bit, particularly about the early years of God calling them here. It's to my knowledge, the longest video we've ever shown on a Sunday morning. And I think with good reason, because in a culture where we so often are just going, hey, what's next? What's next? What's next? There is a wonderful biblical precedent when you look in the scriptures about pausing and saying, hey, what did God do in the past? Let's look back and let's celebrate all that God has done and celebrate God's faithfulness. So if you will, right, I'm going to go sit and sit beside Morgan. We're going to watch together. Let's turn to the screens together and let's watch a little bit of this story.
Yeah, so Angie and I were living in Memphis at the time. Things were going really well there before God used a couple of friends here in Columbus, both of whom reached out to us and asked us if we would consider coming to Columbus to plant. For me, this was coming home. For Angie, this was moving away from her family. We wanted to come to Ohio, to Columbus with a team. Troy and Shane have worn so many hats and have endured, you know, my growth as the lead pastor along the way, and it has been so much fun.
We got to a point where we stopped really caring about where we were. It's more about where can we go and do the things that we feel like we are equipped and called to do.
Not only was he preparing our hearts, but he was preparing the hearts of people here to be a part of a church plant that they didn't even know was going to exist.
I remember that first night we met at the Westerville Community Center right before the service started. Pacing up and down the hallway, going over mentally, going over the sermon in my head, but all the while peeking at the parking lot and seeing if anybody was coming.
Honestly, we were just looking for like a big church where we can slip in and slip out. And a buddy of mine said, hey, you ought to come check out this small group that I'm part of. And so they were meeting in the Westerville Community Center Sunday nights. So we decided to go, and we've been here ever since.
When you are in a very small body like that, there's about 60 of us, you really can't hide. So I guess we felt needed and wanted, and it, like people actually cared.
And the very first time we came to LifePoint, we met every single pastor. I didn't want to meet everybody, but it turned out to be a good thing. And within a couple weeks, we were in the nursery.
We could tell that they were excited, that they had a vision for what God was doing here north of Columbus, and we wanted to be a part of that.
There were just moments along the way that there were filled with such great joy over provision. And man, this is not fun, you know? I remember one time we missed payroll, and you wonder then, am I going to be able to pay my light bill? Or how am I going to go home and tell my wife this? And man, the Lord was just so faithful all along the way to give us exactly what we need.
Rich Halcomb from Strategic Church Network reached out to us and said, hey, there's a church, part of our network up in Delaware. and they're trying to figure out their future.
I grew up going to Delaware Baptist Church, and we were a small church and a small congregation, and our pastor had moved. And our church had a series of meetings with Dean, and through all those questions, we voted to merge with LifePoint.
By Easter, we had painted the interior of the building, and we had put down some new carpet. I think we had 208 people crammed into that building for Easter Sunday morning.
The very next Sunday, we're walking in, and Sandy Seeley, who was one of the original members from Delaware Baptist Church, comes around the corner, and she's got big tears in her eyes. She leans into me and hugs me, and she says, "This is what we have been praying for years and years and years at Delaware Baptist Church."
In Easter 2007, we knew we were gonna probably need some more space. We had been growing.
And we looked everywhere, and you know, when you're a church plant, the budget's not great. So they had to just exhaust all options, and you know, they ended up finding a car dealership that had, you know, just gone out of business and was vacant.
I remember kind of walking the space and trying to figure out where in a big mechanical shop a kid's room could be.
And I remember Mark from our team, he of course didn't say it to me then, but he's told me since, he really felt like we were nuts. He's like, "No one is gonna come to a car dealership, right?"
And I was like, whatever. Like, you know, there's no way.
But man, it was incredible. People came to know Christ. It was unbelievable.
Everyone was all together, and I was just overcome with emotion to see how much God had grown our church at that point, because we had never seen everyone all together.
That particular sermon, Dean, for some reason, brought in a chainsaw.
He brought a chainsaw out on stage.
Dean had a message that involved a chainsaw and cutting down trees.
I remember the message a little bit that day. I used a chainsaw live as an illustration, which may or may not have worked, but people seemed to lean into it whenever the chainsaw started up.
He fired that bad boy up, and let me tell you, it smoked everybody on.
I talked with Troy after service, Easter service, and I was like, "How many do you have?" He's like, "We had 407. And I just blew my mind. I knew that God was the wind pushing LifePoint, and all of us pastors were just trying to not get in the way of what God was doing.
I feel like the same mission that we embraced whenever we came here is the same mission that we embrace today. But the expression of our church to become a multiplying, sending church instead of just trying to get more people to come to one location has been both a fun and challenging journey.
When you think about the church is much more like an organism than it is an organization. And when a church is healthy, it grows and it multiplies.
It is one of the most evangelistic things you can do is to be involved in a campus launch. Typically, what we've noticed here is that people might come to one of our campuses from another area. They're driving to get here, and that becomes the nucleus of a campus launch.
It's really neat to see firsthand what's happening in your community that you live in and how it's impacting people.
If we're gonna walk with our people, we gotta be where they are. I have my neighbor coming who I've been praying for years, but when he heard about it, being in Lewis Center or Delaware, it was like, "That's too far. Come to Westerville and it's right down the street." And so he's here, his family's here. And that's one example that I could multiply by, 20 or 30 times.
When I think about community, I think about a place where each person has an opportunity to discover their gifts and to become all that God's created them to be. I think about a place where people are there like family. So we came here to be a part of a community called LifePoint, a place where no one walks alone.
Nobody walks alone at LifePoint. There's always somebody here to pray with or pray with you or pray for you.
That is one of my favorite statements here. definitely takes place in our life groups. That's where we see it the most.
When you have those people around you that love you and care for you, they're going to show you the truth and show you what the Word says.
My mom had passed away, and we're from Eastern PA, and we were standing there at my mom's viewing, and Troy Palermo walked in. He literally took a flight from Columbus to Philly and then drove an hour to Allentown, and it was just a blessing all around to be able to be just loved.
Tyler, my son, had been diagnosed at 6 years old with type 1 diabetes. And so I found myself in the emergency room with him. The whole life group came to the hospital and had Colleen and I come down and prayed over us.
I'm so blessed to be able to watch the body minister in the context of groups to people who have needs that in those moments they have needs that they don't even know that they have. But God is working through His people to meet the needs.
I think that God has blessed LifePoint because it's His work. We get the blessing of watching God bring to fruition His work in our midst, and we have not stopped watching it grow for 20 years.
It's not going to happen because a staff member or a teaching pastor or a student pastor or a kids pastor does something special. It's going to happen because the body of Christ says, this is who we feel like God has called us to be as we follow the Great Commandment and follow the Great Commission.
I think God's just answering the prayers of His people, and He's using LifePoint to do it.
The future for LifePoint is very bright. With the strategies and the vision in place, I think LifePoint has the potential to grow with even more campuses and even more people.
Prayerfully, it'll be men and women, single people, husbands, wives, waking up every day, spending time with God, going to work, with His eyes looking, seeing the opportunities of His activity and what He is drawing them towards in the context of the beauty of His church.
Amen. Well, yeah, please, come on, come on. I got a chance to text Dean and Shane and Troy just this morning, just thanking them personally for the way that their obedience has not only impacted so many, but impacted me, my family, right? When I was a college student at Ohio Wesleyan in 2010, when had a pretty just radical transformation of my life, and I came back to campus going, I need to find a church. I need to be a part of a family. And I walked into LifePoint. They were still meeting here at that point in time, and first Sunday, and felt like, Lord, this is where You want me to be, right? 14 years later, still here, still feeling incredibly privileged and humbled by the fact that God's allowed me to be a part of this church family. A couple of things I'll say. One, I don't ever plan on using a chainsaw in a message, so if you're hoping for that, secretly watching that, it's not probably going to happen. Secondly, fun moment for, I think, just for us. So the facility they were talking about, Delaware Baptist, right? They showed some work being done in there. That today is the Grace Community School and Preschool that's there on Route 36. And so LifePoint met, I think, in 17 different locations in their early days, moving around, just trying to find space and follow God's activity. And so moved out of there, I think, in 2011 to go back down to Lewis and Erwin. That was sort of the center where everyone was coming from. And Grace Community took over the facility. And then just a full circle kind of moment in 2015 when we were doing the launch process for Delaware, Phil Mears and Grace Community let us use that facility to have our interest meetings there. So we were back in that same facility, meeting there, getting ready to launch this campus. When I think about my experience here, what I've witnessed here, one of the things that comes to mind when I listen to that video even is just sort of a consistent pattern of saying, Lord, it's not about what we want. It's about what You want. It's not about what I want. It's about what God wants. And trying to stay sensitive and be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and staying focused, not on lesser things, but on the kingdom of God and the call He has on our lives to be a people who draw life from Him and point others then to him as well. Now, the video, of course, couldn't cover everything. There's a ton of stuff we cut out of there, but just to sort of complete the story there, right, of what God is doing in some ways, we, you know, in 2013, took us 9 years before we were ready to ever launch out again. It's 2013 that we launched out to Mount Vernon and launched a campus there. They've since become an autonomous church. They're doing great. They just launched again. They just sent out a group of people from their midst to Johnstown and did a replant there in Johnstown called Redemption Church. So they've now multiplied. 2016 here in Delaware, 2018 launched in Westerville, 2022, right, our Lewis Center campus led in the process of launching Plain City, and simultaneously the Delaware campus, we were leading in the process of launching in Marion. And then last year, 2023, launched out in Worthington. In 2025, launching, just kidding, right? I'm just kidding. I had some of you though, didn't I, right? You were leaning in there, right? Look, I don't know what God's going to do, and we're going to be sensitive to what to where and how he leads and continue to say yes as he calls us. Over the course of 20 years, found out this past week, we've had the privilege of baptizing 1,682 people in the history of our church, right? Yeah, come on. I was reflecting on that this morning. That's more people than attend here on a Sunday morning. That's more people than my hometown, right? We've baptized my hometown in the time that we've been alive as a church, as it were. And so, listen, stats are cool. I think stories are even better. When I think about some of the stories here, I think about, and I could share so many, guys, but I think about a young couple from Ohio Wesleyan started coming here in their first few years, neither one of them really following Jesus. Both of them got baptized here, came to really know Christ here. Today, they're studying a second language to prepare for if God calls them to be cross-cultural global missionaries. I think about an older widow, dear saint, who by her own admission told me, Cale, I've lived an interesting life. She was a blackjack dealer in Las Vegas for a while, and she got baptized here in her 70s, and just finding increasing joy in the Lord in the later years of her life. I think about a guy who told me recently he's got a tough job. His job is hard. He's in the throes of things each day, and he said, for the first time, Cale, I had a chance to talk with a buddy, and as he was telling me about his life, I got to share what was going on in my life, and I had a chance to actually point him to the Lord. He said, I'm not used to that, right? Sharing my faith with others, and you could just see it in his face of, man, this is growth and drawing life from God and pointing others to him. I think about another young couple. They started coming here in their mid-20s, and they were engaged, and they had really, as they shared with us, said, hey, we don't have an example of really what it looks like to follow Jesus, to be a married couple, divorces on both sides of the family, kind of all the way up, and they said, we don't really know what this looks like. So they start coming here, and they get into a life group, and their life group leaders had a very similar story, and as God began to bring conviction into their hearts and to draw them into relationship with himself, they actually came to us, and they said, hey, and listen, it is not about the rules. They knew that. We knew that. But they were saying, hey, as we're being transformed by Christ and we're coming to know him, we want to pursue holiness in our life. They said, we're living together. We're not married yet. What do we do? And their wedding was 6 months away, I think sometime in maybe December or July or whenever. I can't remember when it was exactly, but it was months and months away. And so we said, well, you can just get married now. And they looked at each other and they went, let's do it. So they rolled right in here that week. And just us and them, they committed their lives to one another before the Lord. It's a beautiful, we've seen story after story of people changing, making huge decisions on their life based on the gospel. I think about an older couple. They've served the Lord for probably 40 plus years. And now as they age and their health begins to wane a little bit, I mean, they could just say, it's time to sit back, right? We've done our job. Instead, they just started a monthly Bible study in one of our retirement communities here in our city so that they can continue to minister and reach out to adults who are in the later years. Listen, as I watch this video, I think about these stories, and not just the happy and good ones. I think about moments as a church where we've come around through, yes, the happy moments of celebrating life and new birth and also grieving with one another through loss. I think about this family. I think about all that God has done. And honestly, what I thought about was Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read it to you. We're taking a break from our Philippians study today. We'll be there again next week. But the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, this is what came to mind. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you, and he's talking to the church at Ephesus, but through the ages, he's talking to us. He says, guys, I want you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, the picture there is like a tree putting its roots down in the ground. He says, I want you to be rooted. I want you to be rooted for the good moments and for the difficult moments. I want you to be rooted in the love of Christ. And he says, I want you to have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul says, guys, I want you to understand how much God loves you and that you'd root yourself deeply in the love of Christ that's beyond your understanding, and you'd be able to comprehend what its height is and its length and its breadth and its depth. And then at the end, he's practically shouting here with celebration. He says, now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, some verses say, or translations say, than more than we ask or even imagine, according to the power at work within us, to him, not to us, not to LifePoint, not to the people, right? To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Paul says, right, guys, I want you to be grounded. I want you to be rooted. I want you to know the love of Christ. The point of today is not, it's not celebrating us. It's not celebrating our church family. It's not about us. It is celebrating God and his faithfulness and his love to his people over not just one generation, 20 years, but over generations. Psalm 90 starts that way and says, God, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations. And Paul says, I want you to know that love. And there are some of us here today, maybe you're here, and for all of us, even if you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, I think one of the things I'm discovering is you never really arrive. you get to a place where you're like, I feel like I know more than I once did, and I also know that I don't know more. I'm aware of how much I don't know. You keep growing, you keep rooting yourself in the love of God, but there are some of us here, and maybe you're here and you're going, how do I know that God loves me? How do I know that he's there? And how do I root myself in that love? And how do I know that he really loves me? The consistent answer to that across the scriptures is you look to Jesus and you look to the cross. That only a God who loves would give up his son. And only Jesus who loves would give up his life for you on the cross. Jesus said that greater love has no one than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did for you. God gave up his one and only son. John 3:16 is the most famous verse in the Bible for good reason. It says, God so loved the world. He so loved you, and he so loved me, and he so loved our city and our sons and our daughters and the next generation that we just celebrated. He so loved us that he gave his only son. And whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Guys, the good news of the gospel is that there is a God in heaven who is not distant, he is near. In fact, he so loves us that he drew near by incarnating himself, coming among us, and Jesus among us. We would think if God was going to come in flesh, he'd come as somebody really important, and he'd make everyone else serve him. He comes as a carpenter in the Middle East, the son of a carpenter in the Middle East, and then he dies on the cross to pay for your sin and for mine. And then Jesus promises, because he lives, you too can live. God raised Jesus from the grave on the third day, and Jesus promises anyone who will turn from sin and trust him with their life, they will be forgiven. You will be forgiven. You'll be set free. No more shame. No more the power of sin broken. The penalty of sin gone. The Spirit of God living in your life, and death has lost its victory because Jesus Christ rose from the grave. That's the good news of the gospel. And for some here, that's what you need to hear today. You need to know God loves you. He gave his son for you. And if you don't have a relationship with this morning, he is inviting you into that relationship this morning, calling you from your sin and calling you to trust him. And then I go back, right? I go back to Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. For all of us, right? I just want to read this again because it's such a great summary of the last 8.5 years here, the last 20 years as a church, and throughout all generations. To him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen and amen. Here's what we're going to do. I want us to take a moment as a church, and I want us to pray together, and I want us to pray in two directions, right? I want us to pray looking back, and I want us to pray looking forward. I want us to look back in just two words, thank God. And looking forward, two words, let's ask God. Let's thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God that he sees us in the good moments and in the bad. Thank God for all that he's done personally in your life and corporately as a church. He has done far more. I don't think any of us imagined 20 years ago, 10 years ago, when I came, I had no idea what this was going to look like. But man, it is far more than all we could have asked or imagined. Let's take a moment. Let's thank God for that and thank him for who he is. And then looking forward, guys, I don't believe, and I hope you don't believe, that God is done doing great things. I don't believe God is done using us to make an impact in our city, in the state, in the nation, in the world, wherever he asks us to be. So let's ask God, let's appeal to God on the basis of God, you are able to do far more than all we ask or imagine. Lord, here we are, use us. And let's ask God to continue to work and to do what only God can do. All right, let's start this first half of our prayer time. Let's start with thanking God. And as we pray, if you're here and you just don't have a relationship with Jesus, then your time here is to think about that. And to think about, are you ready to take that step into relationship with the Lord? Let's start by thanking God. Let's pray together. Father, we do. We thank you. God, your faithfulness spans more than 20 years. You have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. And Father, this morning, I know we're coming from a variety of places. Some of us hurting this morning. And we thank you. You're near. And you comfort. God, some of us just trying to make it day to day. We thank you that you give strength when it is needed. And Father, some of us just exuberant and celebrating what you have done in transformation. And God, we thank you that you are able to do far more than all we ask or imagine. God, we look over 20 years, 8.5 years here, Father, and we say thank you. Some of us looking over just months, God, of coming to know Christ, thank you. Some of us looking back over decades and a whole lifetime of walking with you. God, we thank you. You are great and you are worthy to be praised. And so we thank you for all that you've done. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you are. We thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for your death and your resurrection and the promise of heaven and new life right now. Let's take a moment now and let's ask God. Let's look forward. Let's ask the question as we pray, God, what do you want to do over the next 20 years? Let's take a moment. I just want to encourage you. You say it out loud. You pray in your own mind or in your own heart, however you want to pray. But let's ask God to continue to work and move in our midst and through us in the coming generation. Mm. Father, we do. We ask. God, you are able to do far more than we imagine or think. And so, Father, whatever we have in mind for the next 20 years, God, we want to dream big. We want to ask for big things. And Father, we also just submit ourselves to you. And we humble ourselves this morning. And God, use this word. We recommit ourselves this morning. Here we are. Use us. Forgive us for getting distracted by lesser things. And God, we ask that you would use us and you would build your kingdom. You promised, God, that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. So we ask that you would use us. And we ask, Father, that you would continue. We know you will, but we ask, Father, that you would continue to work in this church, through this church, in this community, in our brothers and sisters in Christ, across our community. Father, will you draw the lost to yourself? Will you bring healing to the hurting? Will you bring life change, Father, and transform people from the inside out? God, will you help us to reach the next generation and the generation that comes after and to point people toward you? God, we thank you for your faithfulness and we ask you to continue to work. And Father, thank you for using us. We ask that you would continue to do so. As we stay in that spirit of prayer for just one more moment, I want to say if you're here this morning and what you are praying during that time is, man, I want to step into that relationship with the Lord. Today is the day where you're recognizing, man, God loves me, Christ died for me, and I am a sinner in need of a Savior. One, I want to say, welcome into the family of God. If you've taken that step, welcome into the family of God. And secondly, we invite you to continue taking next steps. Keep coming, talk with us, get connected, and we invite you to join in the story of what God is doing here for his glory and for our ultimate good. Father, from you are all things, and to you are all things. And God, you and you alone deserve the glory. And once again, we say, here we are. Use us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.